Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Certainty. Not much in life falls in that category. None of us can be sure of tomorrow. But beyond this life is a wondrous eternal life. This makes the trials we now endure pale in comparison. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer comes with more in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. He's teaching us what it means to be knowing for sure.
So there is a kind of faith that actually brings about a change of mind without a change of heart. Secondly, false faith is a misdirected faith, a misdirected faith. I gave an illustration a moment ago about somebody going into a service station thinking that he has money to pay. And there are people who think, well, surely God is going to accept me because of my participation in the sacraments. Surely God is going to accept me because I have been good. And you remember in the series of messages, and this is the last of six, and they are really one garment and they're all related, we have commented on that kind of a faith which is misdirected. But now I want to speak to us Protestants. I want to speak to us who are evangelical to the core. Those of you who are brought up in Christian homes, or those of you who have been brought up in modern day evangelicalism. There is such a thing as a decisional faith that does not bring about salvation. People make decisions for Christ, and they aren't saved after they've made those decisions. They may pray a prayer, but they don't realize prayer has never saved anyone. Never has, never will. And yet, if you're brought up in a Christian home, your parents may actually say to you, well, you know, at the age of four, you prayed a prayer to accept Jesus, you're saved. Could I say parenthetically, Christian parents, if your kids doubt their salvation, let them doubt. Don't you dare tell them they have been saved. You don't have that right. God will tell them. God will tell them when they're properly instructed. So the point is that there are those who make decisions. There are those particular sections of this country where coming forward in an invitation is inextricably, don't you like that word? I've not used it for years, but inextricably. Oh, wow, that rocks. Coming forward in a meeting is inextricably bound up with getting saved. So they came forward in a meeting and they say, well, I made my profession or I made my decision. Maybe genuine, maybe not, but they say, I can tell you when I went forward. That is decisional faith. You know, Jesus made an astounding statement. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Think about that for a moment. All of the superficial decisions, all of the well-meaning decisions, he who has never been planted by God shall be uprooted. Years ago here at the church, I told you the story of how in Canada there were some people who sold evergreens. They went door to door and they got the whole city block to agree that they were going to chip together and get some evergreens. And they came and they planted the evergreens. They got their money and then they planted the evergreens and the people watered them and watered them and watered them. And all that they did is turn brown and die, and they couldn't understand it. And then somebody went and picked one of them up and discovered that what they had done is they had just simply taken branches and shoved them in the ground. There was no root whatever. Have you ever wondered why it is there are people who make a decision to follow Christ? They say, I have decided to follow Jesus, or I have prayed this prayer, and then you look at their lives and there's no evidence of it, and their leaves are withering and there is no root, and you say, what happened? Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Think about that. Those of you who have taught Sunday school at Moody Church for many years. Think about it, you deacons and you ushers and you choir members. If you have not been planted by God, in the end, your faith will be shown to be false. Well, I told you I was going to rattle your cage. I hope I've done it. Now the question is, how can we know? What is saving faith? Well, what I want you to do is to take your Bibles, and we're going to look at a couple of passages. First of all, let us turn to Hebrews chapter 10, where we have a definition, really, of faith. It is a definition of faith, though it does not give us specifically the content. And I mentioned Hebrews 10. You can turn to that if you wish, but actually it's going to be Hebrews 11. So if you want to be with me, it's Hebrews chapter 11. Now notice what the Bible says. It says, faith, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If you have a King James Version, you know that it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that word substance, hupotasis, hupotasis? Well, the King James translated it substance, and sometimes it can be translated substance. But it's interesting to know how the author of the book of Hebrews uses the word elsewhere in the book. In chapter 3, verse 14, it is translated confidence. He says, we should hold our confidence steadfast to the end. And that's why the New American Standard Translation translates it assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What is faith? Faith is the conviction, it is the persuasion of something. You are persuaded when you believe. Now, I told you that this text in itself does not tell us the content of what we should believe, because it goes on to talk about heroes of faith. But in order that we might know what to believe, let's turn to the passage that was read to us in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, the book of John and Jude precede the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. It says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, and the one who does not believe has made him a liar. Boy, that's an awesome statement. If you don't believe today, you're making God a liar. Because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. You say, well, what is the witness within himself? And verse 11 says, the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. The witness is the persuasion. It is the conviction that if you have Christ, you have all that you need for your salvation. We can fill out the details from other passages of Scripture which say that God laid upon Christ the iniquities of us all. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. The texts that we have talked about in previous messages, that salvation is a free gift of God. Let's put it all together and let me be clear. Saving faith is the deep, settled conviction that what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us is all that we need to stand in the presence of a holy God. That's what saving faith is. Now, if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I don't think I can be a Christian because I cannot live the life, you still have misunderstood. You still don't understand. I'm glad that you're here, but you still do not understand. Because if you say, I do not know whether I can live the life, you are still thinking that somehow salvation is a cooperative effort between you and God, where God does his part and you do yours, and you do not understand, if I may repeat it again, that what Jesus Christ did on the cross is all that you need to stand in the presence of a holy God. We sometimes sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In fact, at the risk of being repetitious, not only must you be persuaded that Jesus is all that you need to stand in the presence of a holy God because of what he has done, but Jesus is all that you will ever need to stand in the presence of a holy God. How do you understand why Michelangelo painted those faces with so much fear? Because medieval theology taught that salvation was a cooperative effort between man and God, where you do your part and God does his, and the both of you work it out. He gives us his mercy and we give him our works and our obedience. If that were the gospel, Michelangelo should have painted those faces with even more terror, because who can know that he has done enough to merit the righteousness of God? No one, not even the Virgin Mary. My dear friend, do you now understand why people who pray prayers sometimes are not saved? You know, we say to people, you know, you need God, and they say, yes, I know I need God. You should accept Jesus as your Savior. I've had people say, sure, it can't hurt. Oh, wow. Or they think to themselves, you know, I need God's help, and if accepting Jesus as my Savior gives me God's help, I'll try it. My dear friend, if you are here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you need something more radical than just God's help. You need God's forgiveness. That's what you need. And you need your self-confidence shattered so that you come to God with nothing in your hand, but become persuaded that Jesus Christ and his death on the cross is all that you will ever need to stand in the presence of a holy God.
Have you come to that point in your spiritual walk where you realize that it's all about Jesus, it's not about you, it's not about your good works? It is undeserved grace that saves us. It is free to those who believe because they have turned from their sin and their works to trust Christ alone. And this message of salvation, my friend, is going throughout the world through the ministry of Running to Win. And we can do that because of people just like you. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who has written to us from East Africa. Now, the reason that we can go to different countries is because, as I've already emphasized, the investment that many of you have made in this ministry. This person says, "Your teaching on Running to Win has been molding my spiritual life. God is sustaining me and my family through your program." I want to challenge you. Would you consider becoming what we call an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. I want you to investigate that possibility. Here's what you do, and I sure hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. You have to go to offerrtw.com. Let me say that again. All one word, offerrtw.com. Or if you prefer, you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. By the way, when you go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button.
Faith in Christ is the non-negotiable factor that transforms people from darkness to light. Nothing is more important to understand. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss more about the difference between false faith and saving faith. How You Can Be Sure is a series designed to give you certainty about how to get to heaven. All 6 messages can be yours on CD for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.